हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 78. In the Vedic writings, such as the Katha Upanishad, the Lord is described as Sarva Bhuta Anantaram, or Anantaratma, or the personality of Godhead who resides in everyone's body, and who directs everything for one who is a soul surrendered unto Him. Right, so that means He'll direct if one surrendered to Him. Otherwise, then under His direction, the modes of nature, that means Maya, will direct. So direction we're going to get, but it's just a matter of whether it's Krishna's involved personally or not. Those who are not surrendered souls are put under the care of the material nature. Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Therefore, they are allowed to do things on their own account and suffer the consequences themselves. That means, as we say, they want to be involved, so then they get involved, they get the results of that. If you're surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna directs, you know, what you're doing, and then there is no reaction. There's no material reaction for it. Anything. Devotees like Brahma and Arjuna do not do anything on their own account. But as fully surrendered souls, they always await indications from the Lord. Therefore, they attempt to do something which appears very wonderful to ordinary vision. One of the Lord's names is Urukrama, or one whose actions are very wonderful and are beyond the imagination of the living being. So the actions of His devotees sometimes appear very wonderful due to the direction of the Lord. Beginning from Brahma, the topmost intelligent living entity within the universe, down to the smallest ant, every living entity's intelligence is overseen by the Lord in His transcendental position as the witness of all actions. The subtle presence of the Lord is felt by the intelligent man, who can study the psychic effects of thinking, feeling, and willing. So, the point before is that the Lord is who's controlling things, not the living entity. Right? Because then the idea is that, well, the jivas are causing the creation. No, the Lord is causing the creation. It may flow according to the particular desire of the living entity, but it's not that they're creating the situation. Like that? You know what I'm saying? Because it would sound like, okay, yes, but according to my desire, then this is happening, that's happening, so in one sense we are creating. But if you actually, that's if we're right where we are, but if you step back, then you're choosing from an already existing menu. You know, it's like the restaurant has a menu. All those things are available. Now you can choose. Now this restaurant has 8,400,000 options. So it's a pretty fancy restaurant. Right? Like that. So that's already going on. Then you choose. So which ones are manifest at which time, that may be according to the interest of the living entity. But the manifestation of it's happening by the Lord. Right? Means you're interested in this preparation. And then the restaurant arranges it. You can say, well, no, but I created it. But no, you had the desire for it, and the restaurant created it. Right? But then there's the restaurant owner. Now, he doesn't cook it. Maya cooks it. But it's under his direction. What the menu is, how it works, the potency behind that, the ingredients, everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it has to be understood, it's all happening under the Lord. It's not coming by the living entity. Okay? Yeah. Sutra 2125. One cannot say that the agency of the Lord cannot be seen. This is explained in the following sutra, right? As Prabhupada is pointing out, the intelligent person, the subtle presence of the Lord felt by the intelligent man who can study the psychic effects of thinking, feeling, and willing. So they can see how these things work and how somebody is functioning under this, right? So they can tell that it's working by the agency of the Lord. People will say, no, I'm doing whatever I want, but you can see how these things flow. They want to do what they want. This will be the result, this will be this. Because of this, they're thinking like this. You know what I'm saying? Devad idvad iti loke. Deva adivat. Like devas and the rest. Iti, thus, loke in the world. In this world, results of devata's actions are seen through... are seen, though they themselves are invisible. Sutra Prakashika. Just as the demigods are unseen, but their effects are seen in the world. The same principle as well applies to the Supreme Lord. That is to say, the Lord is unseen, but his effects are perceived in the world. It was previously proven by the Sutrakar in Vedanta Sutra 215. Abhimani Vyapadeshas tu Visheshanu Gati Bhayam. That devatas such as Agni, Vayu are invisible, but their effects such as fire, air are visible since these devatas enter the elements. Right? So it's already been established, but now they're coming up with a new angle, so you have to present the same thing again. Is that what's up? Yeah. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. The suffix vat here indicates the possessive case of the demigods and others. Though Indra and other devatas are not visible, it is seen that they produce rain, etc. in this world. Thus, though the Lord is not seen, it can be concluded that he is the creator by seeing things in this world. Right? So as we study the Shankya philosophy, then we can actually see the Lord. So that's the whole point. The Shankya philosophy is so that through intelligence one can analyze and see the Lord's workings in the world. That's what it's for. But unfortunately, the atheistic are using it for not seeing the Lord and trying to see something else. So for all that intelligence, they work so hard to keep themselves in the material world. When you don't have to be that intelligent, don't have to work so hard, and you'll still be here. Does that make sense? You know, so what is the, you know, so they'll be respected as so intelligent, so this and that, but they're just very nicely keeping themselves here using so much endeavor. Right? So the common guy, you know, he's also staying here. And he doesn't make any of that endeavor. Right? So in other words, we're respecting those who are best at staying in the material world. No? Yeah. So that's the problem. So that's why then in the Vaishnav culture, it's just the opposite. Means, of course, the normal local respect, that's given. Right? But more important is then within the Vaishnav community that those who are respecting Krishna. Right? So that makes sense. Yeah. So to that degree, then that's then what's seen. So those you're respecting those who are better at getting out of the material world. And the mundane is respecting those who are good at staying in the material world. Right? Those who see it's not a nice place but want to make it a nice place. And those then the other group is those who see it's not a nice place and just get by. Because even if you make it fabulous, it just takes a few days, weeks, months, years, generation, and it's gone. Right? So all that, you spent your whole lifetime to have all that work, you know, turned around, you know, in a very short time. Right? The man works his whole lifetime to develop an empire, you know, of, you know, whatever it is, you know, political or economic or social or whatever it is, like that. And then the children, having grown up in that, taking it for granted, then they can destroy that, waste that in a very, very short time. Right? If it was up to the boys, then by the time, you know, they reach 20, they've already, 21, they've already wiped out everything. They'll have enjoyed it all. Girls will be a little more smart and wait until they get married. You know, like that, and then buy this and that, and then it's gone. You know what I'm saying? But that's the whole point, is that it's just gone so quickly. He's worked so hard, and they, with very minimal effort, destroy it all. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.28. The efficient cause of this world, manifested with as many varieties as the original tree, is you, O Lord. You are also the maintainer of this material world. And after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Right? So he's the one that it's within. Then he's the one who manifests it. He's the one who maintains it while it's there. He's the one who destroys it. And he's the one who gives that shelter afterwards. So he's everything. Right? You know, he's the Alpha to Omega, right? Is that true? Yeah, it's just like there isn't anything in between. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. Right? So they'll say, I can't see it. But then if that's the case, if it's only if you can see it, it has value, then how much value does the, how do you say it, Louvre? The place where they have all the art?
Louvre.
Yeah, the Louvre. How valuable is that? If you just bring a common guy off the street, he'll look at it and go, I don't get it. You know, so then according to him, it's not even the value. You know, he drives by it every day. He knows, yeah, that's the building. You know, what's inside? I have no idea. You know, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. So that's the thing, is just because someone can't see doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Like that? So much sense. That's the whole point. So it's not about us, it's about it's there. So people who are qualified, they see. So that's the point, is that's the vision of the learned devotees. They're intelligent, and they're able to see the subtle workings of how the material world works. So they can see the demigods, they can see the metaphysical, they can therefore perceive the Lord.
When you say learned devotee, means advanced devotee?
Learned means, yeah. Well, learned generally here would mean someone who has the knowledge, and we would, in the Vedic system, it would be they can also practice it, they can apply it. Because if you just have knowledge, that's not considered learned. You may be a very excellent student. You know, just like, let's say, student comes in, they can memorize everything, they know everything, any question you have, they have the answer as far as facts and figures are concerned. You won't consider that so much learning. Someone who knows how to apply it practically to the situation, you'd call that person learned. Right? So in the Vedic version, then that would mean, yes, so it would be advanced, one who's, you know, situated nicely in there. Okay, footnote 37. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that those whose minds are covered by the Lord's Maya see Brahma and others as independent. But those whose minds are uncovered see only the Lord. They see Brahma and others as his expansions only. So then, quoting from here, Srila Jiva Goswami is explaining. So, how can I be the creator, maintainer, and destroyer all at once? Right? So then Krishna is asking. This verse answers, the wise who's wise with minds uncovered by Maya. Tvan Mayaya Asam Ri Tachet Saha. Do not see varieties. They see the non-difference of all the Lord's forms, since the one form of the Lord, by his innate inconceivable Shakti, takes on various forms according to the type of worship and way of seeing. Right? Does that make sense? There's only one Lord, but what you can see is according to how you actually approach Him. Type of worship and the way of seeing. So how someone sees, what they value, that's then how the Lord will manifest to them. But that personal form, that's only understood by the devotees. Right? Others will see just that aspect that they want to see. So the devotee is being surrendered to the Lord, then they see the personal everywhere. It's through these same symptoms but someone else sees it and it's separate from the Lord, right? Well, then this is, it's actually seeing it as non-different from the Lord, right? So this is the difference. We see everything as non-different from the Lord, meaning his personal feature, right? The Maya bodies, they're seeing everything as non-different from the Lord, at least in their philosophy, but as Brahman. But since they say the Brahman is not this, they're actually dualists. They're not actually Advaitists. They only say it's all one, but that's all this is not part of the one, so then that means there's two. But we'll say this and the Lord is one. So that's going to be the difference there. Because we can see that it's one and two. It's him, but it's different from him, because he has three features. So it's through his inconceivable Shakti. And also the reason that what is seen of the varieties is actually not from actual knowledge. They may have factual knowledge, but the mood or the consciousness is controlled by the mode of passion. Right? If you can't see any differences, that's ignorance. You can't distinguish, can't know. But when you see difference, but it's not based on proper understanding, that's the mode of passion. Because if Brahma is separate as a creator, then that means we can be, we can be God, we're Brahman, we can be whatever it is. Be whatever you want to be, right? So that's the mode of passion. The Gita explains that if you see all souls as one, meaning the same, individuals, but the same nature, right? They have individual uniqueness, but there's the same quality of soul, so they all have the same value. That's the mode of goodness. But mode of passion is where you see actual differences in souls. Right? So when you say, okay, people from this country are better than from that country, that's seeing a difference in the souls. That's mode of passion. Or this community and that community, or this strata and that strata, or this one, and that's all the mode of passion. So you're not seeing the oneness, or humans and animals, like this. So this is all the mode of passion. So because there's material desire there. So in the same way is that they'll see Brahma as separate because of the material desire. Right? Because if Brahma is separate, then you're separate, then whatever you want, Brahma has to provide. Now if he's not separate, that means God's in control, that means you have to do what you're supposed to. Right, so that is the point that is trying to be avoided at all costs.
When different schools comment on the size of the soul,
when different schools comment on the size of the soul,
it's medium size or it occupies the size of the body and things, and that is a mode of ignorance, right? Not in passion.
Means you're dealing with the avidya shakti if you don't have proper knowledge. If you're thinking the soul's all these different sizes and all these are different natures, you're dealing with the avidya shakti because they don't know. But it doesn't mean that they may not be living a lifestyle, so the consciousness may be controlled by ignorance. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, but that's all living entities. If you're in the material world, you're controlled by ignorance. That's just it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Then within those controlled by ignorance, then you make a distinction with those who are acting within, some goodness within the ignorance, some passion within the ignorance, or some ignorance within the ignorance. In the Narada Pancharatra, the Narada Pancharatra mentions as follows. Manir yata vibhagena nila pita vibhir yuta rupa bedam avapnoti jnana bedhat tatach chutaha. Just as a gem shows blue, yellow, and other colors at different times, the Lord takes different forms because of different types of meditation. Right? So depending on the light, and through light you see, then the gem will take on different colors. Right? I think we're talking here, an Indranila gem, or something like that. That can take on different colors depending on the light. We're not talking about, your diamond or something. But even then, sometimes depending on the light, you see colors, you don't, you see darkly like this. But the point is it takes on all these different colors. So according to how people see, then?
Yes. We see the contemporary religions, they all see kind of different, and that's their source of their disagreements.
Yes.
So they just don't understand this point?
No, they don't. Even though they say the Lord is one, they don't understand. But the thing is when you're dealing with that those who understand the Lord is one, they don't really bother themselves with others. They just do what they're doing, and just the others aren't up to the standard. Right? That we see a lot of times, the derivatives, that they somehow or another have this thing is whatever I'm doing, everybody else has to do. Right? So it makes it very common. Right? If it's that we're doing this, it's better, and everybody else doesn't do it, then that's fine. It has a little bit more exclusiveness to it. Like that. But when it's, no, I'm doing this, everybody's got to do this, then there's a lack of confidence there. Because if I'm doing what I'm doing, and the pagans are off doing what they're doing, it's like, you know, hey, then who's right here? You know, and so I have to get them to do what I'm doing, then I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing. But if I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing, the pagans are doing that, and what do you go, pagans, you know, it's like that. Then, you know, who cares? That's the difference, the higher culture. Like you see in India, that there's things that people do that are considered low class, uncultured. And people may do that, but it's not that, and it matches their position. So as long as they don't bring that into other circles, then it's fine that they do that. Like the tribals are out in the forest, they do that, they eat what they want, they do what they want. You know, whatever's their social cut, it doesn't matter. As long as they keep that and follow those rules within their culture. But they shouldn't bring that and impose it on anybody else. So you leave them to do that. You know, or a king takes over another kingdom. Then whatever is the local customs and all that, you know, that's developed in that region, whatever they may be, as long as they're not against the Vedic principles, right? Because here you're dealing, you're not out in the tribal where they're living in their own scene. You're living in the city where people are interacting like that. And so there's those who are following the Vedic culture. It can't be against that. So as long as it's not, then it's supported. They have to follow their law. That's standard. That's the normal way of doing things. Right? Some example. Yeah. So then that means that takes confidence in what you're doing and confidence in that identity of what you're doing, that you're going to get the benefits for that whether anybody else follows it or not. So it's not by volume, it's by quality.
Right.
Yes.
And also known as Kshatriya mentality, whatever he does, everybody else should do. Some people take it this way.
Yes, but then, but who should the Kshatriya be following?
Brahmins.
Right. So the common person is following the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are following the Brahmins.
Those Brahmins, they don't see much.
No, but I'm saying if you're following, then it works. So the point is it means you want to benefit people, but then you can benefit people by establishing on what's proper. So that's all right if what you're giving is more proper. So you can say a monotheistic religion is better than a pagan religion because it's closer to the actual, the truth. But to mix that with the passion that it's simply because you're doing it, that's why it's superior. That's where the problem is. No, it's a matter of this is what it is. And so then if it's there, then if all living entities should be following it, then, and that's good, then that means then all living entities have a value. So you have to deal with all living entities in an equal way. But when it's no, we're better and they're not, you know, we're you know, monotheistic, they're pagans or whatever it is that we want to call them, then the problem comes that we're seeing a difference in the soul. And because of that, we don't deal properly with them. But then if there's something different, then why are we worried if they follow the religion anyway? Because once they follow, it should be taken as equal. But you see, as even they do follow, still then they'll be, you know, lower class or this or that, or, you know, you make the tribals into the whatever the local religion, and then you claim, you complain that they're so uncultured. you know, they're poor, they're this, that. You know, first you come, take all their money, then convert them into Christians, and then complain that they're poor and uncultured. You know, it's like, you know, hey, what's going on? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's there's no need to do that. So that's the whole point, is just as the Lord is doing, everyone's taking on these qualities because of the potencies of the Lord. So the souls are the same. But, you know, the qualities they take on. So it's understood, and the Lord, then he appears to everyone according to how they approach. You approach him in pure devotion, he'll reciprocate in that way. You approach in another way, he'll reciprocate in that way. Because he's got time. It's no problem. You say, no, but why does he leave it so long? Remember, Brahma's lifetime is 3/4 of a second. Right? So, he's got time. Okay. Then, the gem refers to the Vaidurya. Okay, Vaidurya, not Indra, which possesses various colors. Or, persons covered by your maya see you in various forms as described. Right, so they see in different, they're covered, so they see him in different forms, they don't know it's actually him. You attain such variety by maya. Right, because maya means you don't see things as they actually are. So it's all different aspects of Krishna and his potencies. People then think that you are these various forms. Right, so then they worship him as this, as worship him as that. You know. But the wise do not think like this because of the Lord's innate Shakti. All the Lord's forms are without maya, full of knowledge and bliss. Right? So, there is no such thing as idol worship if you understand in the proper way. But if you don't, you only see matter, then you could say, then you just idol worship. So it's not that it itself is a problem, it's a matter of the understanding of the person dealing with it. Right? Because the Lord is transcendental and he is, you know, all everything anyway. At the same time, he is a person that's beyond. So that's why when you deal with him within the material energy, then you have to deal with him in the form that's actually his form. You can't just make something up. You know, you don't end up with a totem pole or something, right? Yeah. Sutta 2.126. There is another fault in ascribing the creation of the Lord to the jiva. Krishna, Prashaktir, Nira Vayava Shabda Vyakopo Va. Kritsna, entire. Prasakti, activity. Nira Vayava, indivisible. Shabda, text. Vyakopa, contradiction. Va, or. The jiva would have to absorb himself completely in the action. Otherwise, it would violate statements that the jiva has no parts. Right? So, the jiva has no parts. It's just one entity. How can he be thinking one thing and then doing something else? You know what I'm saying? So, he has to be, that means he'd have to be fully absorbed, and that's why it's working. But even he's not thinking about it, it's still working. Right? Sometimes you do something and you wonder, did I do that? Or that, you know? Does that make sense? Yeah? You know, it's just like you're chanting Gayatri and then afterwards you come to, you know. Huh? Of course, you worked out lunch very nicely, but, yeah.
We can say, but this example for us is the argument against it. For example, the one who runs the factory, that jiva. It does run the factory, it doesn't have to be present there all the time.
No, but we're talking about the Shaktis. We're talking in that example is that you have the boss, it's probably called the supreme boss, and that, and then through his energies, and that, his presence is felt. Through his consciousness is felt.
It's not the same.
But we're showing that in connection with the Lord. Because his energies are doing, but the jiva's energies are not doing anything, because the jiva doesn't have any energies. See, it means you can't, if you have one philosophy and you're committed to that, you can't use someone else's philosophy, you know, instead of yours.
And how is this going?
We're the one that's saying about the big boss. They're not the one saying about the big boss. Okay, well, here, let's just continue. Sutta Prakashika. If one is stubborn on the opinion that the jiva is creator, then one must accept the deduction that, quote, the jiva uses this his complete sarup to perform any activity. Because the shastras mention the jiva to be without parts. But ordinarily, this is not seen, since the jiva lifts a blade of grass easily and struggles to lift the stone. Thus, the sutrakar concludes that because the above-mentioned deduction is false, the miscomprehension by the opposition that jiva's creator is also false. Sri Govindabhasya. Siddhanta. He who holds the theory that the jiva is creator must accept the conclusion that inasmuch as the jiva is without parts, his entire self is present in every act. But this cannot be said, because in lifting a light thing like grass, we do not see the employment of the entire force of the jiva. When the jiva puts his entire self into any action, all of his powers manifest therein. As in raising a heavy stone, the jiva puts in all his power, but he does not do so in raising a light straw. And so the exertion is indefinitely less. So that means then there's parts by that definition. So that means is if the jiva has no parts that the shastra says, that means someone else must be doing this. Does that make sense?
No.
It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense? Okay. Let us say we have, all these things are archaic, right? Televisions and radios and this and that.
Don't say that, for the old people.
Okay, so that's why there's no kids in the class, right? No one understands, what's the guy talking about? It's like a dinosaur is giving the class. Let's say sound, okay? You have the volume, so it has degrees, you know? Like, let's say, you know, a common one is like 1 through 10. So if you put it on 1, the sound is less. You put it on 10, the sound is loud, right? The amazing thing is local in India when they have these programs and all that, how it's there, even though there's only 10, they've worked out how to make it 12. Like that. Amazing, but true. Like that. That's the special potency, right? So, you have divisions, so it's not, its full power is not being used. Right? You can make divisions. No? The soul is not divisible. So how can you divide? So that means the soul is not the one that's making the difference between the amount of potency that's there in lifting a blade of grass and lifting a stone. Someone else is doing that. Right? That's what's happening. There means the jiva, because the point is being given is the jiva can't be the one doing, because you see there's different exertions. Right? And so then if the jiva is doing it, they have to be putting themselves fully into it. Then you would get the same result all the time. So it would either be, if they're doing all this, then that, you know, doesn't matter. It means if you've created this, you should be able to lift it. Can you lift it? No. So then that means someone else is doing this.
So that's a supreme law?
Yes. It always comes back to that. That's our point. It's the Supreme Lord. They're trying to say it's the jivas. So it's just another angle of pointing out is that they can't. So it's a contradiction. They don't have that full power. Yes? See, the point is full, but does the jiva in the spiritual world, they're working on their own potency? It's still under the internal potency, or you're working under the external potency. Right? Yeah, but the jiva is not Shaktiman. Right? Krishna is. Right? So his potency is doing it. So that potency is full, and then there's a certain amount that's being put into it. You know? But yes, they're you're either working under the internal or the external, and or in mixed devotional service there may be both. You know, in the process of transferring. But the point is that's there. So that full potency is there. Just that particular amount is being applied. So it's not that, well, then how can Krishna? He's one, so how can he? Because the full potency is there, but you only need that much. But for the jiva, if you want to give a different example, then sometimes in the morning, you know, you can't get out of bed. You know? Okay. Maybe a lot of times in the morning you can't get out of bed. In most days, I mean, no, that's an absolute statement.
That's not
Yeah, so you understand? So we're not producing the potency. Even if we say, no, but I'm using, just as the Lord varies, but the Lord always is fully potent. There's never a time when he's tired. We are. You understand? So it's not our potency. It's just using a different angle, because the other ones, that's what he's saying, that someone is still just so attached to it, he's not about to give it up. Yes.
If the jiva doesn't surrender,
then nothing happens.
Not even the part you should.
It's just like this. If you don't walk into the restaurant and make the order, does the cook cook? No. But does that make you the supreme controller because you can walk into a restaurant and make an order? Because you made the order, I'm controlling the waiters, I'm controlling the cook, I'm controlling the boss of the company. See, he had to buy that thing, you know, like that. If I didn't order the, you know, whatever it is with truffles, there would be no truffles, right? Does that make sense? So if that's it, then that means the pigs are the supreme controller here, right? Because they're the ones that dig up the truffles, right?
We are not the controller, but we are thinking we are.
That's the whole point. That's why it is. The guy goes into the restaurant, he thinks really big of himself.
Yes.
Right? It's a fancy restaurant. It's not because of the guy that walked in. It's because the restaurant said it that way. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they started off as some cheapo place, and then some fancy guy walked in, and now suddenly it becomes a fancy place. You know what I'm saying? Because there are these like cheapo little holes in the wall, but somehow or another the atmosphere is nice, or something's very nice about it, so even celebrities will go there. But it's still a cheapo place. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't change. And then the other ones, they open it up. That means it's not by accident that those menus don't have prices on them. It's not that it's not that one day he said, go out, print this up like that, they bring it back, hey, what's where's the, you know, the prices and all that. Oh no, what happened? And then he goes, hey, wait a minute, you know? And like that, and it was like that, you know, what is it? It's like one of my one devotee was saying, when his father, he went into, I think it was the, he was, I think, getting a Bentley, right? And so then he asked, you know, just as the modern thing, you know, okay, how much horsepower does it have? And they said, enough. You know, it's like, you know, whatever you need, it's there. It's just, you know, because it's not about horsepower. It's not like, you know, they're a bunch of petrol heads or something. It's just, you know, it's enough. And another thing that was pointed out is that when you do the bespoke kind of thing, you can buy it just what's on the floor, but you can also get it in different, you know, the colors, the this, the that, and all that. And so when you're sitting with them to discuss, if you have to ask how much, their point is you shouldn't be here. Like that, because if you want special for yourself, it's what's going to cost. You know? That's it. So if you have to ask, you're in the wrong shop.
Fiat.
Huh?
Fiat is your...
Sorry?
Fiat is the place.
Yeah, then that's the place. So that's the thing. They make that statement. And if you have to ask, how much does this cost? It's kind of like, why are you here? You know, you're in the wrong place, you know? See across the street, that place with the flashing lights? That's your place. The prices are there, then you pay, then they give you. Right? So the whole point is Krishna's full potency is there, and how much is needed is applied. Like that. So you could say, well, the jiva is doing, but we see is that that potency is not consistent. Otherwise, it would belong to the jiva. Would the jiva get old and invalid? No, because their full potency is there. Like that. Is that? Yeah. Nor can one say that in the latter case, the entire jiva is not active, but only a portion. Because it is an admitted fact that the jiva is without parts. Therefore, we cannot say that the entire jiva is present in the act of lifting of stone, but only a portion in lifting a straw. The entire jiva is present. Okay. You may say, what is the harm in admitting that the jiva has parts? To this we reply that then you will be contradicting all those texts of scriptures that declare that the jiva is without parts. Right, so in other words, to win an argument, you can't go against the scriptural point that's there. Where scripture says that the jiva creates all beings. Jivad bhavanti bhutani. Jiva here means Brahman, right? Because that's what we were saying, that was shown in the last chapter, was that where a word is defined, that all the indications are about the Supreme Lord, you have to understand that word to be meaning that, even though it may be a word that's used in multiple ways. Right? So here, when it says jiva, because jiva also, I think, means that, you know, living or alive or conscious. Right? So,
soul.
Huh?
Also, it means soul. Many different.
Yes, but we're just meaning here about the Lord, then he's supreme soul or the supreme conscious. So that, therefore, he can also be called jiva. Like that. So in that way, then, when it's talking about he creates all beings, then that can't be us, because we can't even create ourselves. Right? Like that. It means you have to get a new look. You go to someone else for the makeover. You don't. Otherwise, if you're creating, you do it yourself. Right? Yeah. So you have to be able to define things according to what they're actually, the context that they're talking, right? Mm-hmm. That was explained previously. Therefore, only the foolish propose that the jiva is the creator. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-9. Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of a relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that the living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with so-called fathers and mothers. Because if you don't have a relationship with your own body, why would you have a relationship with mother and father? Right? Because the body is separate from the jiva. Right? So then the jiva has a body, and then another jiva has a body. Then we say, okay, here's mother and father. Right? But that thing is that those are the bodies are related, not the souls. Because you can say, no, but we have that deep connection, and then next life? How deep is the connection?
Identification is big.
Yeah, but the point is you can't guarantee you'll have bodies that have any connection. Right, you know. So that's the whole point: is that if you don't actually have these connections, doesn't mean that you don't follow the etiquettes, do all the different things, because the consciousness of the soul has to be expressed through the situation you're in, what form you have, what situation you're in, what ingredients are available, like that. All these different things. Then that's how you express the consciousness of the living entity to another, because that's the whole point: is that life means you're interacting with other life, right? But the point is, the bodies are dead matter, so they're only the medium for it. Right? You know, so nowadays people are so worried about the medium, but no one worries about the soul or about the person. I mean, they don't even know about the soul, but even about the person, the individual. It's just about what medium you have to express your individuality. Is that... As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother as a result of his past fruit activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus, he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. The living entity, so falsely with jubilation and lamentation, right? So jubilation means that over happiness, and lamentation means over sadness. It means there's always going to be something, is, you know, creates the different moods. But when one becomes elated in that in happiness, or jubilant, that means that's beyond, because then you're identifying with it. You understand? The living entity is eternal and imperishable because he actually has no beginning and no end. He never takes birth or dies. He is the basic principle of all types of bodies, yet he does not belong to the bodily category. Right? Because the principle of the body, because the body is based on your consciousness, then that's what body you'll get. But it's not that he is the body. The living being is so sublime that he is equal in quality to the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, because he is extremely small, he is prone to be illusioned by the external energy. And thus he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires. So this is the creation, is that he has the desire and the material energy carries that out. That's where he's part of this creation aspect. But in actuality of creating, no, that's not happening. You know. So footnote 38. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals the qualities of the jiva due to which the jiva cannot be designated as the creator of the world. Since the jiva is independent and powerless, since the jiva is dependent and powerless, there must be an independent controller. What is he like? Since the jiva is covered by Maya and the Lord is thus is covered by Maya and the Lord is thus invisible. Though he can also be seen, the Lord is described as Tat, Brahman. Because the speaker, Angira, is not covered by Maya, being free from ignorance as a Jivan Mukta, he is able to use words to describe this Brahman as a perceivable object. The Lord is described by, so in other words, Brahman is imperceivable for those who are on the material platform. But those on the spiritual platform that don't have the material, they can perceive Brahman. Right? The Lord is described by three terms which are used in relation to the jiva as well. Eternal, unchanging, and subtle. The jiva has been described by two terms not common to the Lord. Dependent and without control. Powerless. Right? The Lord doesn't have these two. Like that. They're just a lack of that because he's energy. Right? Other qualities are next mentioned to show the unique qualities to the Lord, such as being the shelter of all living things. The universe is called himself because it arises from his Shakti, which is non-different from him. Does that make sense? So then we would have to have Shaktis and we don't. So they're trying to say we're Shaktiman, but where's the Shakti? Right? Krishna is a Shaktiman, so he has Shaktis, and we're a Shakti, so... Adhikarana 10. Scripture is the source of knowledge. Shabda Mula Dikaranam. Sutra reference 2:1, 27-29. Adhikarana Prakashaka. The current Adhikarana confirms that the Supreme Lord is known based on the authority of Shastras. In his future work, the Sutrakar validates this in Vedanta. Sutra 331. Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam Choda Nadya Visheshat. describing that knowledge ascertained in all the Vedas is Brahman, because this is the common subject of injunctions in the Veda and logic. Because the common subject is always about the Veda and is always about Brahman. That's the common subject. Then you may see specific, you might be about Paramatma, might be about Bhagavan. Right? Does that make sense? But otherwise, general is always about Brahman. It's always about the transcendence. If we accept the concept of desire trees and philosopher's stone, which the Shastras speak, then why should there be a dilemma in accepting the position of Brahman as the creator, which is also expressed by the scriptures? Right? The scripture is saying the one thing that we're accepting, but why wouldn't they accept the other? You know, so in this thing, this is a subtle, you know, it's a special thing, desire trees and philosopher's stone. So then how do you say? Oh, you want to come in here, or? Oh, okay, yes. So that's accepted. Why wouldn't you accept when the Shastra says Brahman is the creator? Why would you only accept some verse but not accept others? Right. So that's the whole point. Scripture is a source of knowledge, means what it gives, that is knowledge. The two defects in Brahman, as indicated by the opponents, are as follows. One, is Brahman without parts? Two, does he put in all his efforts in an activity? Right? So they're trying to use the same thing with the jiva. Because if the Lord's doing it, then the jiva can do it. Because you're saying the jiva can't do this because of this, but they're saying, well, but it was, how about the Lord? You know, so, yeah. They don't give up easy, these guys. Answers to these are dealt with by the Sutrakar in this overall composition of Vedanta Sutra using the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva as follows. 1. The Sutrakar later explains the Vedanta Sutra 3.2.11-12. Nastanatopi parasyo bhaya lingam sarvatra hi and na vedat iti chen na pratyekam atad vachanata. That the Supreme Lord, although non-dual, divides himself into multiple forms in multiple places by executing his inconceivable power. Right? So, he's one, but he can divide himself by his power. He has the power to divide himself, though he's indivisible. Right? That's the thing. That's him. That's why he's different. We are like that. The Shruti states that there is no discrimination between the forms of the Lord, since they are one with Him. Right? So that's the thing. So they're all one with Him because they're all His forms. He's divided, so they're just like the candles. You light them all, they have the same potency. Though they're separate, they're the same fire. Like that. Yeah. 2. The Sutrakar earlier explained in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.26, Atma Krite Parinamata, that Brahman is both the efficient cause and the material cause because he transformed himself into the world. Brahman possesses unlimited shaktis, broadly categorized as 3. By possessing para shakti, he is the efficient cause, having a subtle nature. By possessing the other two shaktis, jiva and prakriti, he is the material cause, having a gross nature. Hence, Brahman puts his efforts via his shaktis. So there's unlimited, and then he puts how much is there, right? But he is the source of these, while the jiva is not. Right? Because we always have to understand as an example is specific for this application, and what applies is what you use. You don't use it everywhere. You know, just because you use the knife for cutting the vegetables doesn't mean when you put them in the pot, now you stir them with the vegetables. Or you cut them with the vegetables, then you put the knife on the flame, and then put the vegetables on top of the knife, like that. You know, that's the advantage of the Japanese ones, because they have those little depressions in the side of the blade. So then, you know, the ghee will stick there, and it'll help it from sticking, you know, stuff like that. Right? No? Okay. So, means you apply it where it applies. And then a different example, maybe, if you're looking at a different angle. But this idea is, no, the material example has to be perfect and applicable in all ways, but then the problem comes is that, but the material world is imperfect. How can it describe the Supreme, which is transcendental? So it's only used to give an idea. So if we have understand, we have that faith, we have to understand Krishna will reveal himself. So it's not the example. The example is given to come to connect our level to what we're trying to understand, to the Lord. So that's why the example will be according to, you know, who you're dealing with. Right? Yeah. Thus the Sutrakar refutes those challenging the authority of Shastras. Summary of Adhikarna 10. Purvapaksha. There are two faults. Right? So Purvapaksha means the?
Opposition.
Yeah. Being without parts and putting forth all effort. Also present in the proposition of Brahman as creator. Because then is it the same thing. It is not possible. If he uses all his sarup and all activities, then he would use all powers to lift a blade of grass. But that is not possible. He must therefore have parts by which he does it. Right? So then if that's care, then the jiva can be the creator. But the point is if, see, is what the fun part is here, is if they're establishing that Brahman could do it, therefore that's the authority that the jiva can be, then why we wouldn't take it that Brahman is doing? He's the big creator, we might be the small creator. Because the whole point is who's creating the material world. But if you're saying, no, Brahman can't do it, that means the jiva can't do it. You know, so they're trying to use this argument on this point, but they defeat themselves in the process. You know what I'm saying?
They miss the point of Brahman having shaktis because of which they come to this
point. Yes, that's there. They miss that. But I'm just saying, even just on the logical thing, if you're going that, no, but if Brahman is doing that, he must have parts. And he's, you know, how you say, indivisible.
No.
Then, how you say?
Jiva.
Then the jiva also can have parts, even though he's indivisible. So therefore, their philosophy that the jiva is the creator stands. But the authority of that, you've already established that Brahman is able to do it by that process. So if Brahman's unlimited and the jiva's not, why would you say this unlimited creation is created by the limited? Why wouldn't it be created by Brahman? So again, they bring in the example that defeats their own argument. We have to remember they're getting quite desperate by this point. Right, so brain is working less and less.
It's going to be the same thing to the end of the Vedanta
Sutra. Different philosophies. But it's like, in other words, Vedanta Sutra is where you take all possibilities of philosophy and discuss them threadbare, that all there's left is service to the Lord, surrender to the Lord.
Yes.
Like that. So the six schools then will be discussed to the limit of their argumentation. Like that. Means, you know, proper, intelligent, like this. So here, they're using their logic, because as soon as you say the one, well, what about that? That's what's going to come up. You know what I'm saying? But when it gets beyond these, then you're getting to, you know, less intelligent, so they don't even bother with those. You know?
Yeah. We'll find that in the next part, which is coming soon.
Yes. So it's going to deal with all these different, how do you say? All these different things. So Vedanta Sutra is a study of the defeating all the six schools of philosophy. That's what it is. But on that technical term that they deal in. Because if you can understand that, you can apply that to anything. Because this is philosophy. There aren't any more parts to philosophy. You know, just like there's 8,400,000. There's not 8,400,001. Right? Like that. That's what's there. So these are all the parts that are in philosophy, and that's all there is. And so then that's what people argue it. Because this means not that Ananta Sesh couldn't argue finer than this, but what jiva would be able to understand. So this is how much we can use. You know, just like in time, we can perceive a nimisha. There's time below that. You know, time according to the atom, we can't perceive that. It's there, and there's time above our time that we also can't deal with. But, you know, so this much is necessary for us. You know, and more than that, you know, if Krishna and Balaram want to talk on that level, then they can. But then, you know, as human pastimes, they'd work within this context. In other words, this is the area that is interesting. Right? Like that. So that's what comes down. That's why it said that if you understand, study the Vedanta Sutra, then you actually understand philosophy, how it works. Okay. But it's based on logic. So it's Nyaya Prasadam. If he does actions through his parts, that would violate statements of scripture like Nishkalam, Nishkriyam. The Lord is without parts and without action. Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva refutes this proposition in the next sutra. Sutra 2.127. Srutes tu shabdat shabdamulatvata. Srutehe, from the scriptures, tu, but, shabda, word, mulatvata. Because of the root. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable subjects. Right? So we're dealing with something that's inconceivable, right? Brahman is beyond what we can perceive. So that means, how do we know about Brahman? Through scriptures. Like that. Otherwise we wouldn't know. If the scriptures didn't talk about Brahman, who would know about Brahman? Right? Means if we bring up the point of Brahman and the impersonal and merging into the, you know, like this, where does it come from? Which part of the world? Right? This part.
India.
Yeah, it's known. This is Indian scriptures, the Upanishads. It's just famous for that. It's not there in other scriptures. Like that. So if it wasn't there in the scripture, we wouldn't know about Brahman. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So the scriptures are the source.
Just as the other sutras that we saw were the most important, from the Anandamayi Prasad and Janmadhyasita, this is one of the most important sutras.
This one?
Yes. This we will see more. Jiva Goswami is commenting on it in his Sambarvas.
Okay, then he'll give us a point. How this particular sutra. There's also one, I think it's just...
That is
Shabdamulatvat. Yeah, that's Shabdamulatvat. Yeah. That's another one. Just means everything's coming from the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is pointing out how it's connected with the Lord. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Out of the three methods of collecting evidences, namely sense perception, inference, and scriptures is the reliable method, always. Whereas the other two methods may or may not be reliable. The Sutrakar in the opening pada of this composition in Vedanta Sutra 1.13, Shastra Yone Tvat, establishes that the Lord cannot be known by reasoning or inference, since the source of understanding the Lord is the Upanishads, right? So Shastra is then how you'll know the Lord. That's your connection. And how will that be? Then the root of that is coming from the Shabda, right? So Shabda Mulatva means that is going to be the root of it. Means the Lord is all that's to be known, right? And we know that from scripture. Right? Hence, the Sutrakar presents various scriptural statements which declare Brahman's inconceivable nature, thereby proving that the imperfections seen in the world don't apply to him. Because right? They're trying to take, well, if it's this, then it must have the same things. They don't understand he's beyond that, so it doesn't have that problem. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. The word tu indicates refuting the doubt. The word na, not, is understood to be taken from Sutra 1.2.1.24, right, which was 24. Okay. If you argue that Jiva can create a universe because we see him perform actions, the answer is no, since the Jiva is dependent on his actions, just as a cow is dependent in producing milk. So this na is taken from here.
Yes.
Right? The word to refutes the doubt, you know, but, right? Remember, it's always but. The faults seen in the world do not apply to Brahman as the doer. Why? Because of scriptural declarations about the Lord, Shrutehe. He is beyond the world, inconceivable. though he is the very form of knowledge, he possesses a form and is the possessor of knowledge. Right? So he's the form of knowledge, but he still has a form besides that. That's the point. He's unlimited. That's the uniqueness. While the jiva is not unlimited.
So his form of knowledge, can we say, is the Vedas? Which is...
Yeah, you could say the form is the Vedas. Is the Shastra.
Which is impossible. Means
all these different things, they're all the Lord, the form of the Lord, but then his form as a person is beyond that. Just like the universal form is taking the universal elements that are here and putting it into a personal concept. Right? So someone who only knows Brahman and understands, okay, everything's Brahman, then you start categorizing, well, here, Brahman has a head. You know, and eyes, and ears, and you know, arms, and all that. You know, Indra's are the arms, and, you know, Patala's the feet, and all these things. So he starts to get the concept of connecting Brahman to a personal form. But it's still an impersonal form of the Lord, because it's generic. You understand? So that's why he's then said is that it's a beginning stage for the impersonalist. Now, in that, we don't make the mistake that we don't use this system. But the difference is we know the personal form, while they don't. They're just getting accustomed to the idea. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's just like, let's say you're getting accustomed to a pool. Right? It's very hot, very cold. You know, you just go in slowly and all that. Are you swimming? No. Those who are swimming, they're accustomed to the pool. Right? So they're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So they see we see the person. And his impersonal feature has these. But the point is, since it's coming from him, everything, because the cause and effect can be seen, therefore you can see the cause or him in the effect, the material world or the universal form. It'll always have that. Even though it's impersonal, there'll be that personal element. That's always the way it is, because the personal is the original. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, if you can say no, but in the personal we can see you have all the people, they're persons, but then they have humankind, then that's the impersonal, so it's higher. Yeah, and then where does that come from? That comes from the person again, the supreme person. Right? So you always see is the material world, I mean the Brahman is that neutral place between the two. Right? So that's the mistake, is thought that's the highest. No, the person's the highest. Though one entity, he appears as many, and though without parts, he possesses parts. Though measurable, he is immeasurable. Though the performer of all actions, he is without change. This Brahman is described in the scripture. So all these points are mentioned. So Shastra mentions all these things. So he has that, but it doesn't say that about the jiva. It just says the jiva has no parts. He's infinitesimal. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's not going to work out as a a resume, right? The Lord's one's pretty good. Our one's infinitesimal, but without parts, you know, controlled by the superior energies, yeah. Yeah, and the guy looks at the CV and says, no, it's not what we're looking for. What are you looking for? We're looking for Brahman. So it's like, you're a jiva. So.
Not good.
Sorry, didn't you see it right here? The Supreme. Oh, okay. But I'm pretty good. He is inconceivable. Brihach cha tad divyam achintya rupam. He has a great, shining, inconceivable form, Mundaka Upanishad. He is knowledge itself, right? So that's the whole point. Now we're starting to see is that why this sutra is so important. Is we see now we're making a change. We've given all the background of how it is, this and that. Now we're putting together is that all these this is what Shastra says. Shastra defines God in this way. So if we accept Scripture, because before this we're arguing over the points of the Scripture. And now he's made the point is no, the Scripture is what we're based everything on. Otherwise, what's the point? And so Scripture says this, so we have to accept it. Right? So before this, they were willing to argue over the point, but at this point, it's no. This is, we're done with this one. Right? He is knowledge itself, but possesses knowledge. Tam ekam govindam satchidananda vigraham. This one Govinda is a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Gopal Tapa Upanishad 136. Just in case you were going to say, no, but the Brahma Sabhita's verse is not here. This is Gopal Tapani. Bhara hai dabhi ramaya, ramaya kunta meda se. I offer respects to Govinda with peacock feather ornament, most attractive in form, with unlimited intelligence. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 137. Eko pi san bahuda yo vipati. The one, he appears as many. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 119. Ama tro ananta matrascha daitas yo pashyama shiva. He is auspiciousness with lack of duality, without parts, and with unlimited parts. Mundaka Upanishad. Right, so here is one thing we could also say is just an interesting point on study. Right, because we have the two aspects of study. Right, we have where the seriatim and the the thematic. Okay, I don't remember the word, fancy word. Right, so you have these two things: is you have where you're just going from the beginning into the end of the book, and then you're going back and studying according to the various themes. So. Then as we see is that when we're studying from someone doesn't know the topic, it's being revealed. So you have to go through on things that are based up, the fundaments and build. Then when it's all together, then how you use it, it'll be combining all that together. Does that make sense? So it's important that there's a distinction here between these two approaches. One is done first so that you've gone through and learned, and the other is then understanding how that the flow of all these points work. So we see an example here is that he's quoting from Gopal Tapa in the Upanishad. He's going 136, then 137, then 119. Right? So when you're just going through in the order of the book, 119 will be first. Right? But now, once that's known, then you can see it in this order. So you'll see is that in the thematic study, the acharyas may even adjust the orders. Because now, having already understood the subject matter, now you can put it together on that level of study. While doing it in another order is for a lesser order. I mean, lower understanding. You're just getting to know something. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then it'll be... This is important because you'll see is when the acharyas put these things together, many times they'll adjust the verses, bring in verses from somewhere else in between. Because the knowledge is there, and it's been mentioned, but it may not be given as much detail in one place. So from here, then you put in the Mandukya Upanishad. Right? So then sometimes you get Bhagavatam, then it gets the Gita, and then there's different orders from different cantos. Like that. And you'll see if you read that through, it's a very nice presentation. Perfect presentation. But it's taken from all these things. That's why we're dependent on the acharyas. They know how to put that together like that. Because if we do it ourselves, it never quite has the same same effect. Is that? Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.